This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Before I move on to another topic, I'd like to point out that it is the height of irony that Republicans held this Supreme Court seat open for nearly a calendar year while President Obama was in office, but are now rushing to fill the seat for a president whose campaign is under investigation by the FBI. Even Rep. Nunez, the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, said the investigation, confirmed yesterday by FBI Director Comey, puts a big gray cloud over this administration. You can bet if the shoe were on the other foot and a Democratic president was under investigation by the FBI, the Republicans would be howling at the moon about filling a Supreme Court seat in such circumstances. After all, they stopped the president who wasn't under investigation from filling a seat with nearly a year left in his presidency. It is unseemly to be moving forward so fast on confirming a Supreme Court justice with a lifetime appointment while this big gray cloud of an FBI investigation hangs over the presidency.
Well, Chuck Schumer, doing everything he can. There's got to be a rabbit over here I can pull out, whatsoever to block this. And of course, you know it as well as I do. This is all payback because of what happened with Merrick Garland. President Obama knew this was going to happen. I think it was unfair. It was unfair to Merrick Garland. It was unfair to the rest of America that he would do this when president has been established. See, and this is what the Democrats do. They establish the president, and then when they're called on it and it's brought back on them, they say, no, it's not fair. Well, you know, sorry, that's what you've done. And you've also established the nuclear precedent. And I believe that we're going to see the nuclear option exercised from Republicans. And when that happens, you're going to have conservatives and you're going to have Republicans standing up going, it is about time. No excuse. Just go ahead and pull the trigger on it. I mean, this is what Harry Reid did. He manipulated the Senate, the leadership of the Democratic Party when they were in force and in power. This is what they did. And I understand some people would say two wrongs don't make a right. But, if you don't play by the rules that are established, that they themselves established, then what do you, you know, what's the alternative here? And it does not seem to be a reasonable option, it seems at this point, that you're going to get some Democrats to come alongside and support the Neil Gorsuch nomination. I mean, you can hear the questions. Scott, the questions, I mean, they're so goofy. I mean, what was Dianne Feinstein doing yesterday? I mean, was somebody at, I mean, she had no connection with the questions that she was, you know, she was asking. I mean, well, she was a disconnected talking head, so to speak.
There's another thing here that I think that they got to be very careful of. You know, we keep mentioning the nuclear option. I think that's a floodgate that they need to be very careful that they don't open.
Because and I think Mitch McConnell, to your point, is trying to do everything he can. Because Mitch McConnell, when it comes to tradition of the Senate and the rules, and Paul Ryan the same way, they're very conservative in that manner, respecting it.
I'm talking more from the Democrats' point of view, because once you open that floodgate, you might not shut that again for 4 years, 2 to 4 years, right?
Exactly.
Because, I mean, you use it once, well, now we know we can use it.
Well, and they already did. Yeah, they used it, and so now it's, will the Republicans, do they have the nerve and the courage to respond in kind? And I think they're going to put up with this to a certain degree, and they have signaled to the Democrats, don't make us pull this out. But I'm telling you, Scott, I don't know how they avoid it. I'm talking about the Republican leadership, because even Donald Trump has signaled that this is going to happen. So they know they have the numbers on their side. They're just, I guess, hoping that reason upon reason, the Democrats will support this nomination of Neil Gorsuch. And, of course, the hearings continue. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody,
it's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Just a reminder, for more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there, past interviews. Experts that we bring on, this independent operation here, that they can speak freely. We can speak freely, exercising our First Amendment rights to pursue the truth no matter where it leads, because it is that important. Our next guest has, you know, what you might title as an incredible story, and he has been rather vulnerable in sharing the challenges that he went through in his life and the redemption and the story and the hope that he is giving, you know, to all of us is incredible. And you can't help, after hearing his story, but appreciate and respect the humility, the trust, the vulnerability that he shares with us here. His book, Hope for the Same-Sex Attracted, A Biblical Direction for Friends, Family Members, and Those Struggling with Homosexuality. Ron Sitlaw is with us. Ron Sitlaw, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you here to address this topic. This has been my concern. You're a pastor of a church in California, and I have seen people coming to church. And these are new people looking for answers. I mean, Gallup, in a poll here recently, even supported by a most recent poll by George Barna, who's going to be on with us tomorrow, says that the culture is looking for answers. And they're going to the place where the answers, they believe, reside. Even though they may not be church-going, they come to the church going, okay, can I find the answer? And if the church is not sensitive to people who are seeking, not you know, friendly seeking, they're seeking for the answers to troubling questions in our culture. One of them happens to be the issue of gender identification, homosexuality, and we're hearing too much from the pulpits across America, and I don't mean to be overly critical, so forgive me for trying to lay out a broad brush here, but clearly the evidence is the church is not prepared to deal with these complex topics. Is that fair?
Yeah, I definitely think that we have lost an opportunity to speak biblically about what God has to say about sexuality, about homosexuality, but most importantly, the redemption that's possible through the cross of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, the Lord is raising up men and women whom have encountered that grace and that mercy and are willing to speak in the public sphere.
Exactly. Well, when you talk about something like this with homosexuality, same-sex marriage, these issues that are challenging the culture, that people have decided, okay, I'm offending people when I talk about, you know, like anything, Ron, you kind of have to surround things, you know, when you talk about it. And being some sort of place and comfortable area where you can have the conversation and not feel that you're going to offend somebody. Because we don't have it all right. We're still trying to figure it out. And what you have discovered and what others have discovered is that clearly God said, and there is comfort, there is guidance, there's direction in God's word if we will just hearken unto it. But meanwhile, before we get there, we're exercising ourselves and, you know, we're missing the point. But you still have people coming to church going, I'm having problems with this. How do I address this? And the problems could involve, you know, personal desires and conflict with their sexuality, homosexual attraction. You know, these things, you know, seem to be better handled, you know, not necessarily in an open forum, so to speak.
Definitely. I think the church can do a better job, first and foremost, I think from the pulpit. I think churches that adhere to an orthodox view need to be open about God's view of sexuality, speaking ethically about what the Bible has to say. But also, we need to have a deeper and better understanding around a theology of sexuality and marriage. And if we don't do that, if we don't help people see the beauty of marriage between a man and a woman and the beauty of singleness and the beauty of God's design, what we do is we enable people to be trained up by the culture. And that's what the church has done in large part, is kind of given up in this training. And now people are just turning on TV and they're being trained up by that.
Exactly.
And we see the fruit of that all over.
Well, and the sad part is that God is being misrepresented, because exactly. You have some churches that have been so overwhelmed by it, they say, okay, well, we just have to accommodate it. We have to make room for it. That's not the way God works.
No, absolutely. We need to recapture the gospel of transformation, that every person, whether it's same-sex attraction or greed or lust or whatever it might be, is in need of a Savior. And he is more than capable of taking our lives and doing extraordinary things.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to same-sex attraction, that doesn't always mean change in desire, but it does mean that God enables us to live the life he calls us to and to be good gifts as men and women who follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And it starts with understanding, Ron, as you know, that there is a purpose, that we're not some sort of experiment or theoretical process that God just said, well, you know, I have an idea here. Let me just, we'll create Ron and, you know, hopefully he'll get there. You know, God's real clear about what he intended for each one of his creations. And that would include us. And when we do right, as he tells Cain, when we do right, it'll go well for us. A lot of people they're not happy. You know, we've got the full panel of unhappiness on display from suicides, sickness, disease, discomfort, all this stuff, unhappiness and anger and hatred, all represented as a result of violating the immutable laws. And these laws are immutable. I mean, God created them for our own safety, that when we follow those laws, when, you know, much like the 55-mile-per-hour speed limit in Southern California, in some areas, that still exists. I know you're in Illinois now, so everything's up there is about 65, 70, right?
Right. We go a little bit faster in the Midwest.
Yeah. So because you got lots of Midwest to cover, so you need to go faster. But regardless is that you don't know that you're violating the law unless the sign is up to indicate. And God gave us clear laws, and you know, that's one indicator. The other part is that you know, as he says, there is an imprint on our very conscience that is our North Star and our compass, to know that we know that when we're doing the right thing, then it's affirmed within us, isn't it?
No, absolutely. We are, our bodies matter. They are meant to tell a story, and how we use our bodies points to who God is and the purposes of all of creation. And when we know that and live into that, we can have real joy and real peace. And when we don't, the consequences are evident.
without a doubt. Ron Sitlaw is with us. We've got more from him. He's the author of the book, Hope for the Same-Sex Attracted, Biblical Directions for Friends, Family Members, and Those Struggling with Homosexuality. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 15 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay with us, America.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with the Americans. Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour news that Gong Show creator Chuck Barris has passed away. The creator, songwriter, novelist died of natural causes, this is according to his publicist, Paul Sheffrin. He created shows, as you might recall, The Dating Game, Newlywed Game, and The Gong Show. Back with our conversation here with Ron Sitlaw, author of the book Home for the Same-Sex Attracted, Biblical Directions for Friends, Family Members, and Those Struggling with Homosexuality. A little background here on Ron. He graduated from the University of California, Riverside, and Western Theological Seminary, served in ministry positions in Southern Cal and Kansas City, pastor of Calvary Church in Orland Park, Illinois, part of the Reformed Church in America. Ron struggled with same-sex attraction his whole life, has worked with and walked alongside many others who have struggled with sexual brokenness, as well as equipping pastoral leaders to serve those dealing with sexual sin. Ron, you know, for what you have experienced, you might say a dark to light kind of experience where, you know, much like the blind man, you're blind, you don't know better.
Yeah.
And then one day God opens up your eyes and you see. What was that like for you?
Well, it was definitely that. I was in a real valley, and there was no way for myself to get out. And the Lord encountered me, and he did it in my heart, but he also did it through a local church. There was a pastor who had a young adult group at a church in Southern California, and he invited me in, and those folks took me in and loved on me. And I was a real mess at the beginning. But it was that community and that grace and mercy that didn't just accept me as I was, but called me into a life of discipleship that forever changed my life. I can't tell you how important it was that those men and those women believed that I had a place in their community as a broken sexual person and believed that God could do something extraordinary in my life. And that's why I'm a big fan of the church. I just think the church is the means by which God conveys his love to the world. I'm here because of that love, and I seek to, in the things that I lead and the things I write, to encourage the church to live up to its noble calling.
Well, for you, there were two questions that were asked and answered through this process, Ron, and it's no different than anybody else who comes to the church and thinks that their sin is unforgivable, that there is no way that this God of love that they hear about could even love them, that there is this lack of worth and value. So, you know, the questions that you hold are typical of people who come to the church with issues, and that's what the church is. The church is not a place of perfection by no means. It's people who have experienced life, who've been confronted by God, and as a result are no longer the same. And the two questions that needed to be answered for you is, how can someone, this is you specifically, how can someone with same-sex attraction be faithful to Jesus, and how can everyone else support and encourage them in this pursuit? And both those questions were answered emphatically, weren't they?
Absolutely. Faithfulness is found in relationship to God's Spirit and his church. And what I found in my life as a follower of Jesus these last 20 years is that there's actually great reason to hope if you deal with same-sex attraction in following Jesus, that there's actually great resource in the kingdom of God. And two of them that need to be celebrated and thought through deeply is first singleness and celibacy. Mm-hmm. I think we have limited its power and its ability to really enable men and women who aren't called to heterosexual marriage, but who want to be good gifts as men and women.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. The Apostle Paul lived it. Jesus lived it. Both affirmed it as beautiful callings in the kingdom, and it needs to be celebrated. And for the first 5 years of my life, that is the way I lived.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that needs to be celebrated is the hope of marriage between a man and a woman to uphold the weak among us, so that they can be faithful in their calling to Jesus. Marriage, for me, I'm married. I've been married 15 years, and there's many, you know, cliffs and challenges in my wife being married to someone who deals with same-sex attraction. And yet we love each other deeply. I'm attracted to her, and we're able together to faithfully follow Jesus and be good gifts, gospel gifts to the world.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad the way you phrase that, Ron, because, you know, the church, sadly reflects the culture today where there is a casualness about marriage, the sacrament of marriage, the sacredness of marriage. And as a result, you know, I'm sure that there are Christians who grieve over this, that feel like, hey, they're not being the gift that they need to be. Well, and what you're saying is that if you're not the gift that you need to be, you know, good news is at least you know there's a differential there, right?
Absolutely. That's the power of the gospel. When we speak of transformation, what we're speaking about as it relates to same-sex attraction is not primarily some kind of orientation change, but the power of the gospel to transform you into a good gift as a man or a woman, whether in singleness or in marriage. But the other thing I'd say is that we need to rediscover the beauty and the strength of marriage instead of reducing it simply to a place of desire and temporal happiness. Mm-hmm. I think both of those things are really important. But marriages, primarily in the Christian tradition, are about the ability to become holy. They become a furnace of holiness.
Yes.
And now you have this helpmate who can help you in following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Desire and happiness are really secondary to that primary calling.
And when you talk about holiness, I want people not to get, you know, miss the point here, especially those that, you know, might say, well, those are the typical, you know, religious terms and, you know, Christianese and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you really understand what holiness is all about, it speaks of wholeness. It speaks of peace. It speaks of perfection. It speaks of that emptiness that you feel in your soul, whether it's in your marriage or in your daily walk, that emptiness that, you know, needs to be filled with something. And we know that a void can't exist. The challenge is, what are you going to fill it with? Are you going to fill it with the righteous things that promote that holiness, that wholeness, that very thing, that legitimate thing that your soul, your being is crying out for? Or are you going to medicate it with something else that is just going to keep you blind, boxed, and begging?
That is such a great point, Bill. Holiness, another way of saying holiness, is freedom. To be free. To be free from the compulsions of the flesh and to be able to full-heartedly follow and be in relationship with Jesus. And that is what the gospel gives us as a gift.
You say in the book that there's a handful of obstacles that can keep a same-sex attracted person from receiving God's gifts for them. Tell us what they are. We're about a minute and a half away here.
Yeah, I would say the primary obstacle for Christians who are seeking to follow Jesus is gay marriage. And the reason for that is in some quarters of the church, accommodation has been allowed to say, if you deal with same-sex attraction, there really isn't a lot of hope for you. And so what is best is for you to be in a faithful, monogamous relationship. The reason that that has great challenges, apart from the ethical problems that the scriptures prohibit same-sex activity, is that gay marriage tells the wrong story. You know, marriage, for all the good that it does, it also is deeply theological, meaning that marriage points beyond itself to who Christ is in pursuit of the church. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 5. Mm-hmm. This is a great mystery, and what I'm speaking about is the church, Christ and his church. So every time you see a marriage between a man and a woman, whether they know it or not, it points beyond themselves to the purpose of the cosmos, which is the bridegroom God pursuing his bride, the church.
Mm.
Gay marriage doesn't tell that story. It
right.
tells a radically different story with different characters and different endings. And that theological problem means that there's no way that gay marriage can be an alternative for someone who's seeking to follow Jesus. And we have to go back to the scriptures as followers of Jesus and do our work. And that's really what I tried to do in the book, to say the scriptures actually have great pathways for faithfulness and joy for the same-sex attracted and for the...
Well, we have to leave it there. Ron Sitlaw. Thank you, Ron.
With tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow
allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, it's as young as you feel day. Did you know that? Okay, maybe we might want to recheck and say, I'm not feeling as young as I'd like to. Maybe it's a little bit of a mental adjustment. Why not? But it is as young as you feel day. May you feel young, okay? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Feel younger. Why not? A little bounce in the step. We encourage you to do so. As we encourage one another to, reach for the stars, keep your feet on the ground, as Casey Kasem would say. Welcome back. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. We encourage you to get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Liz Crokin is with us right now, award-winning author of Malice, and has worked as an investigative journalist, columnist, and senior editor for various publications. Let me tell you, if you have not grown to appreciate, especially in this recent time, the fortitude and the passion of investigative journalists and what they put on the line for our behalf, it seems that the light is shining brighter, and it's a light of appreciation for investigative journalists for all the hard work they do. We need more of them. So, Liz, I congratulate you on your passion, and I welcome you to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you so much, and I agree with you 100% on that sentiment.
Well, you know, because, here it is in this information age in which we live in. The challenge is that we're so inundated with information, it demands a filter of truth to where we can run this through. Right. And I know some people will immediately say, well, the truth is, no, it's not relative. That is that's what people would want you to think, because if I get you to think truth is relative, then I can get you to accommodate a lie or two along the way, right?
Right. And another problem with, you know, this information age that you were talking about is that a lot of journalists out there everyone is just so eager to get information out there as quickly as possible that I don't see many journalists, I don't see many publications, I don't see many media outlets anywhere spending the time and resources on investigative journalism. And true investigative journalism takes months, sometimes years, just to break one story. And, you know, sometimes when I break a story and other people, other reporters will call me and ask me about it, you know, they don't even ask me, they don't spend the time to really ask me about the story or, you know, what it took for me to get the story to come to light or, like, the research that's involved and the funding, too, because to do
exactly.
real investigative journalism, it costs a lot of money.
Right.
They're just more interested in getting, you know, hits and to get the information out there as quickly as possible, but they're not, a lot of these reporters aren't even proofreading their work before they put their stuff out there.
Right, exactly. So. Well, Liz, help me understand something, because I'm struggling with this personally in terms of investigative journalism, because it has opened a gate to where, for example, we got lots of leaks going on right now. We have information
right.
where, you know, the law has been broken. And if the law has been broken and a journalist has information in their hands, I mean, to me, it's like stolen property. This is my challenge. So maybe you can help me, you know, ferret this out a little bit. To me, it's like having stolen property. If you have stolen property, then you're complicit in the crime. But yet in the world of journalism, if you have information that was acquired by felonious means, it's justified to open that up and even further exacerbate the crime. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think it just kind of depends on like the situation. You know, a lot of journalists should just be messengers. You know, they shouldn't be an accessory to crimes. You know, I've traveled the world as an investigative journalist, and I've mostly done entertainment. I used to work for the National Enquirer, and I've done covered a lot of celebrity scandals and scandals involving politicians, and I've never, to my knowledge at least, broken the law to break a story, and you shouldn't have to break the law to tell a story. But that doesn't say that there are people within government that do break the law by leaking information to journalists. So, I mean, it's kind of a gray area, and I'm kind of divided on it because, you know, I look at someone like Edward Snowden, and I look at someone like Julian Assange, and I think that they're doing great services, you know, to the world by exposing some of the dark stuff that's going on in the shadow government.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point does it become a crime, you know? And
exactly. Yeah. When do we become complicit in it in the interest of informing, you know, informing the public? And I agree. I mean, this is all part of the conflict, and we're kind of forced into situational ethics here. I think it's a tough place to be in,
yeah.
You know, for investigative journalists like yourself and for us as a country that are relying on the hard work of investigative journalists, because on one hand, we're saying, you know, do your job, you know, go in there and go deeper and get that information. Why is it that we don't have all the information on Benghazi? You know, we were able to, you know, figure out what happened at Watergate pretty quick, but yet we have you know, what might be the seeds of another Watergate, but somehow that's tapped down and you know, politics enters in. But investigative journalists, you know, they go where, you know, where a lot of people don't want to go, and sometimes at risk to your very lives and careers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's for sure. You know, and as a journalist myself, like, I do try my best to protect my sources, because if you can't protect your sources, then you're not going to get any stories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of like a fine line there, but it's like, if there's people within government that are breaking the law by leaking information, but the information they're leaking is proving that the government is breaking the law itself.
Right.
Then it's kind of like, what side do you take?
Exactly.
Both, there's multiple parties breaking the law here. And it's like, do you want the government to continue to break the law and, be involved in the, you know, like illegal activity? Like, I don't know how much you've read from Bolt 7, which the mainstream
yes.
media didn't cover much of, but, you know,
right.
the fact that, you know, the shadow government, the CIA and the NSA has the ability to spy on all of us and to, you know, basically control your vehicle so that there can be an assassination made that's completely untraceable. That's
mm-hmm.
very concerning information. And I think the public should know about that. But if leaking that to the public, you know, is breaking the law in the process, it's kind of like, well, what's the worst of two evils, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you brought up Vault 7. Let's open it up. Yeah. One of the things, of course, was the Michael Hastings assassination by the CIA, greatly underreported, to your point. So open it up for our audience, if you would.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. I have the news on in the background. I'm watching how live sort of the British Parliament's on lockdown. And when I was reading through Vault 7, when Vault 7 revealed that the CIA has the capability to remote control your car. So basically, the CIA can control your car and have you, you know, drive off the road or excel, you know, really high speeds and smash your car into, you know, a tree or something that could kill you. And the murder is basically untraceable. And when I first started reading through this in Vault 7, I was thinking about other ways that this technology could create, you know, terror and hurt a lot of people. And I was thinking how a lot of the recent terrorist attacks have been, the weapon of choice has been vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did an interview last week, and I said, if the CIA can control your car, then they could frame someone who's in a vehicle for plowing into, you know, a crowd of innocent people and make it look like a terrorist attack.
Exactly.
And I'm watching the news live, and what just happened today, like from the reports I'm seeing, it looks like there was two incidents that the news is still coming out, but they may be connected. Probably were connected, maybe they weren't. Mm-hmm. But my guess would be they were connected. But one of the incidences is that a vehicle plowed into a bunch of citizens on the bridge. That's mm-hmm. what I'm hearing now.
Right, exactly.
But, so, you know, in light of what has been revealed in Vault 7, like, who knows who could be behind this? You know, in terms of these vehicular assaults.
Right.
If the government can control your car, you have no control of your car, and it flies into the past the pedestrians, then who's to say is behind it, right?
Exactly. Well, we start getting into some deep state shadow government controls and sort of thing. They cause us to put, I say, tinfoil hats on our head here. But our conversation with Liz Crokin continues. Stay with us, America.
Hello, I'm Dr. Chirakuri, a board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. Every day, I see many patients whose lives would be enriched by hearing aids, but who simply cannot afford the thousands of dollars needed to pay for them. I made it my mission to find a way to manufacture medical-grade, affordable hearing aids. Working with other doctors and audiologists, I developed the MD Hearing Aid Air, which costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids.
See how the MD Hearing Aid Air can help you once again enjoy conversations, even in noisy places. Call 1-800-416-1526 to speak with one of their trained specialists. Reconnect with your life with MD Hearing Aid's affordable quality hearing solutions at a fraction of the cost of custom hearing aids. Right now, take advantage of their exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-416-1526. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-416-1526.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight?
At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
14 before the top of the hour. Welcome back. I am Bill Martinez. Liz Croken is with us. Author, award-winning author, I should say, of Malice, who worked as an investigative journalist, columnist, senior editor for various publications. Her work has been featured in the Red Eye edition of the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, Splash, Us Weekly, In Touch Weekly, Star, Marie Claire, National Enquirer, and Elite Daily. Problem is, Liz, you're just not working hard enough. You know, you just don't have enough public.
Yeah, I've been around the block. I've worked at many publications, that's for sure. Doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, good fun for you to be able to get into, because you were just an inquiring person, even as a child, weren't you?
Yeah, I was actually. I always wanted to be a journalist. My friends called me a detective because I was always solving mysteries, and I was always kind of into conspiracy theories and the unknown and, you know, government corruption and just as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And also in politics as well. I majored in journalism and political science at the University of Iowa. So I've always had that. I've always, you know, been one to ask a lot of questions. So,
yeah, to go back and
meant
and
to think, be that I fall into journalism and exactly. Become an investigative journalist.
Well, and to think about the, you know, the things that you've covered in your career, you know, quite extensive and, you know, and for you, very satisfying. As you say, you've had this, you know, this desire to ask questions, look into things and to. You know, and we need people like yourself that are dedicated to holding our government accountable.
Yes, exactly. We do. We need a lot more people like myself doing this kind of work because there's a lot of corruption going on.
Exactly. Well, there's been, you know, over the years, it's been accommodated. And to the point that, you know, sadly, I would say that journalism took a big hit in the last decade because things got, you know, I think it was important to be close to power, not to hold power accountable. And when that happens, you kind of lose sight of what your purpose is, right?
Right, and you know, we learned through WikiLeaks before the election that a lot of journalists were working for Hillary Clinton to help her get elected, you know, and they were compromising their role as journalists to, you know, help her get elected and, you know, paint the story in her direction. They were hanging out with her campaign, you know, workers and, you know, getting perks and favors for writing positive stories, you know, even having her campaign managers approve stories before they ran them about her. I mean, it was just like ridiculous. And then you had people that would express, like, in the quote-unquote mainstream media, express, you know, the slightest bit of truth about Hillary Clinton. For example, Dr. Drew, mm-hmm. you know, stating he was concerned about her health, which
right.
there was legitimate reasons to say that. The woman had a seizure and passed out in public and
yeah, right.
running for the highest office of the land. Like, if we're not questioning that as journalists, then we're completely failed as journalists. And what happened to him? He immediately got fired.
Yes.
You know, from CNN. So it's a sad state of affairs, you know, but there seems to be just too much coziness between the mainstream media and a lot of these politicians, and it's not good.
Well, Liz, what comes out of the, of the control rooms of these operations that promote this? I mean, it wasn't that you had journalists just independently going off and doing this. I mean, people do that, which they get rewarded for. So it had to be affirmed at the highest levels of each
exactly.
organization, right?
Yeah. You know, I write for the New York Observer as well, and I did some investigative pieces on this, and there are people within the mainstream media that work at the big networks, for example, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Channel, and they were told from the top to only post negative stories about Donald Trump and mm-hmm. positive stories about Hillary Clinton. And some of these people didn't like Hillary Clinton, but they have kids, they have families, they didn't want to risk losing their job by exposing this.
Right.
So they just shut up and did what they were told to do. And this wasn't just within the mainstream media. Like, this expanded into the entertainment business as well and into social media. So you had people working at the tech companies such as Facebook, Twitter, Google, mm-hmm. Apple. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And all these companies were colluding with the Clinton campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can Google my name and find my Observer articles. I did several pieces on that. But, I mean, mm-hmm. even some, like, entertainment, like, talk show host types of people were,
right.
you know, in a subtle way threatened. Like,
exactly.
You know, basically, people would, there was kind of a wink-wink thing going on where people were told, look, if you say anything negative about Hillary or you go too far, then what, you're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened, you know, all over. It wasn't just within the networks, which are blatantly, you know, biased. But, you know, it was happening with, like, entertainment shows as well.
Exactly.
So,
well, and they're paying a price. I mean, look at it. It happened to football players. Look what happens with ESPN, with their ratings. And you've got a football player that decided to go political and be part of the national scene. And, you know, he finds himself without a job. Nobody wants to touch him now.
Yeah, that's so true. It's backfiring.
Right,
so
exactly. But, you know, and I think that for publications, they've lost circulation. They're losing audience because if you fail to honor the purpose of your existence, which I believe in, when it comes to journalism and mm-hmm. to publishing, whether it's newspaper publications or magazines, you know, one of the main reasons they exist is to document history. So
exactly.
critical. And if you violate that documentation and you're mishandling the high honor of documenting the history of our land, I mean, why do we do that? But for the next generation, and hopefully so that we don't repeat mistakes. But unfortunately, right now, there's a lot of liberality in the documentation of history. And I think it's going to be tough for the generations ahead to look back and say, you know, what was mom and dad? You know, what were they drinking? What were, you
right,
know,
I know,
what was going on there, right? That's pretty crazy stuff.
Day, people don't like being lied to. And, like, some of these publications, the New York Times changed its headline about wiretapping.
Yes.
They went back in and changed the headline. I mean, they're blatantly lying. They're misleading the public. So many publications are doing it. And you're right. If you go on Twitter and you check out some of these, like, so-called, you know, mainstream media reporters, their followings are very small. They don't have many followings. And they'll, you know, post some story they've written that's blatantly biased. Some of it's flat out lies, and mm-hmm. they won't get any shares.
Okay, right.
No shares or no likes. And the people that are becoming more powerful are people in the alternative media. I mean, you have literally citizen journalists who are investigating things going on in the government and the corruption, and, you know, starting a YouTube channel, and they're getting more viewers than some people in the mainstream media.
Exactly. And so, they're doing this on a limited budget, Liz. I mean, they don't have the institutional budgets. I mean, they're taking their, you know, Starbucks money and pulling it together to try to, you know, to get down to it. Because like you said, this is costly. I mean, you know, you expend some resources to be an investigative reporter.
Exactly. And yeah, right. And if you want to do like some really good, you know, investigative reporting, and it requires like groundwork, and that requires, you know, flying, you know, across the country, sometimes around the world, and, you know, interviewing tons of people, you know, renting cars, staying in hotels. It can be very costly if you want to do some like real, you know, investigative journalism where you get your hands dirty.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to talk particularly about Pedogate, high level and pervasive pedophilia. Tell our audience what's going on.
So, it's hard to know where to start, but I was a victim of a sex crime, so I've been a victim's advocate for sex crime victims. I like to call them the survivors for several years now, and I'm very familiar with sexual abuse, rape, sex trafficking, and all those areas because of what happened to me. And you know, it's a passion of mine, and I've done a lot of work to help victims and to expose, you know, the kind of horrors that are going on in terms of sex trafficking. And, you know, before the election, when the WikiLeaks dump came out, and the Pizzagate story started to come out, I researched all of the emails that were released. Most of them involved John and Tony Podesta. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the theory is that they are involved in pedophilia. And if you go, I mean, I encourage people to go read the WikiLeaks emails themselves. They're available to the public. You don't have to take my word for it.
Right.
But if you go and go read through these emails, there's all these references to pizza and pasta and, you know, walnut sauce and different food items that, A, make no sense, but, B, are known code words for pedophilia.
Right.
And
we got about a minute left here, Liz. Liz, just a heads up. We got about a minute left here, so go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay. So to bring things up to speed, you know, a lot of people started investigating this, and there's a lot of suspicions that there's sex trafficking going on, and, you know, politicians and members of the government are involved. So, you know, I started writing some columns about sex trafficking, and President Trump has addressed this issue. He had a press conference, like, about a month ago. And since he's been sworn in, there's been a high number of pedophilia arrests and sex trafficking arrests. I mean, it basically skyrocketed. There's been, like, over – since he's been sworn in, there's been, like, well over 2,000, which is way more than there was even in all of last year.
Right,
and
exactly.
And I wrote a column about this, and this should be, like, the biggest story of the year, that, like, all of these pedophiles and, like, sex trafficking rings are getting busted all over the country, left and right. I mean, I post stories on my social media page all day long, and the mainstream media is completely ignoring the story.
Yeah.
So I wrote a column about that, and it went viral. And we are starting to see now a lot of the people that are getting arrested, you know, in the beginning when Trump was sworn in, a lot of the arrests were kind of like low-level, like, trashy,
right,
scumbag people.
But they're starting to get a bigger people involved. Liz, we gotta leave it right there, but I look forward to having you back to talk about this subject, especially as it continues to breathe and more is revealed on this. Liv Crokin has been our guest. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your day with us.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I'm very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both notice that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Lifetime.